Can one overcome their past? Can one avoid negative influences? In Parshas Pinchas, after Bnei Yisrael finally takes revenge against the Midianim for causing the Jewish people to sin, Hashem instructs Moshe and Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen to count the Jewish people. Se'u'es rosh kol das b'nei Yisrael mi'ben ha'srim shanav amala. Le'veis avasom kol yitzei tova b'Yisrael. It's time to count the Jewish people. The Mefarshim give various reasons and explanations why it's time to count the Jewish people. Maybe it's because they just experienced a plague. Maybe it's because it's an expression of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that being the case, when one starts looking at the names which are listed, and the Torah expresses and delineates each individual who comes from each of the Yud Beis Shvatim, there are certain storylines or names that certainly pop out. And in Pasuk Perek Chava, Pasuk Yud, the Torah recounts what happened to Korach. But Tiftach Ha'aretz Tzpia V'Tivla Usam as Korach Mamosa Ida B'Chala Ish Ish Chamishim Masayim Ish V'Yul Anes. The Korach and all the people who were with him, they perished, either by being swallowed up by the ground or through the fire. And then the Torah tells us something quite fascinating, which we did not know up until this point. In Pasuk Yidalev, Bnei Korach lo meisu, that the sons of Korach did not die. And this is quite strange, because one would clearly assume, based on reading the Psukim in Parshas Korach, that Korach, along with the rest of his family, died. Certainly his children, Korach, was this charismatic leader. He was able to influence and stir up an entire rebellion about Moshe Rabbeinu. Would one not think that even his own children would follow along in the plan? Would they not have enough respect for their father to follow him into battle, so to speak, with Moshe Rabbeinu? How was he unable to influence his own children? In fact, the Psukim in Parshas Korach do not tell us the fate of Korach's children. It seems to imply they also perished the same way that Korach did. So what exactly happened to Bnei Korach Lomesu? How were they able to avoid that terrible tragedy and fate that befell their father? And the Medrash gives a couple explanations exactly why Bnei Korach were spared. And I think within the two answers given by the Medrash, one can develop a very important yesod, which is very powerful and important for the time period that we find ourselves in. One reason given by the Medrash is because they were trying to avoid machlokas. And the Medrash explains how when Moshe Rabbeinu would walk by and their father would walk by, they would hide their faces, they would not want to acknowledge the fact that they saw either Moshe Rabbeinu or Korach, their father, because they said to themselves, well, if we stand for Moshe Rabbeinu, then that would be a lack of kivud av for our father, a lack of kivud av aim. And if we were to stand for Korach, so that would be obviously an affront to Moshe Rabbeinu's kavod. And therefore, what do? They buried their head in the sand in order to avoid it completely, and that led to their tshuva. Another reason given by the Medrash is because we know that Korach came from the family that was in charge of traveling and holding the Mikdash. They were holding the Aron, and because of that, they were not involved in this machlokas. They were too busy holding the Aron, being involved in the Mikdash and all the Mishkan that needed to be carried around. And I think what one sees when it comes to this Medrash is a very, very powerful tool and blueprint about how a person can overcome negative past experiences or negative influence and avoid machlokas. One way to do that is to remove yourself from the situation where machlokas may be fraught. It would be understandable if Korach's sons followed their father, but they understood that would be an affront to Moshe Rabbeinu's kavod. So what they did was, as opposed to getting involved, they removed themselves from the situation. They said, I don't want to be involved in this machlokas, which could lead to sinas chinam, which could lead to a lack of kavod for either my father or my Rebbe, and therefore I'm going to avoid the entire situation. And the second yesod you see from Bnei Korach, that what were they doing? They were involved in the Mikdash. They were involved in Torah. They were involved in Avodas Hashem. And when a person is so focused on Avodas Hashem, on Limud HaTorah, so one is able to overcome the negative influences that one may be surrounded by. We know that the Gemara explains that if a person feels that the Yetzer Hara is trying to overtake them, that the Gemara explains that you should drag him to the Beis Medrash and you should sit and learn Torah. And that is a perfect antidote for the Yetzer Hara, which is causing you to sin. And that's how B'nai Korach Lameso. They removed themselves from Machlokas. They connected to Torah, to Avodah Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the antidote to all the negative influences that were surrounding them, and therefore they did not meet the same fate as their father. And I think this is a very important yisod for all of us. We're entering into the 3 weeks, and obviously we are suffering from the negative influences of our past. We have yet to overcome the problems of sin astinam. We are still, right now, unfortunately, not able to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're not able to offer the various korbanos and live a life of Avodas Hashem to the fullest extent possible. And the antidote to that, seemingly, is in the Yesod of Korach, B'nai Korach. And what is that? We must avoid machlokas. We need to shy away from situations of sin aschinam. When we see people are fighting, remove ourselves from there in order not to add fuel to the fire, so to speak. And at the same time, if we could connect the Torah to the Mikdash, to Kedusha, to Avodas Hashem, like B'nai Korach did, then we'll be zocha to the bracha of B'nai Korach Lameso, and us as well be able to build the Beis HaMikdash B'mehirah V'yameinu.